Monster Movie Media presents. Greetings and welcome to episode 63 of the Creepy Kingdom Podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. In this episode, I am joined by Michelle Young from the Disney Dream Girls Podcast. Fresh off the heels from her trip to Disneyland Paris, she's going to share with all of us all the creepiness she encountered within that resort, including a very detailed look at their haunted mansion, Phantom Manor. So without any further ado,
let's begin.
Alrighty, I'm here with her minxliness herself, Michelle Young. Hello.
Hello, and welcome to the many and wonderful citizens of Creepy Kingdom.
We are all very glad that you stopped by once again
to, wow.
to share some tales of your adventures as her minxliness goes on her many adventures.
Yes, I think I need to write a book, The Many Adventures of Her Minxliness.
We're up there with Any Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, I'm sure.
Hang on, James. Are you saying that my physique is resemblant of Pooh?
I didn't say anything like that. I'm just saying that's a good story, so I'm sure your story would be just as good.
mm-hmm. Watch out, A.A. Milne, I'm after you.
That's right. So... you're here to share with us some really exciting things that we have not really covered that much at all on this show. We're going to talk about Disneyland Paris.
And, ooh la la.
And we're going to talk about what creepiness could be found there, which I don't know too much about. You know, we have had a little bit of here and that on the show, but... never had a full-on trip report, so right from the trenches. So you're going to come along and let us know what's going on over there.
I'll try my best, James.
Alrighty. So this was your first trip to Disneyland Paris?
It was indeed, and I know this sounds absolutely bonkers mad when I'm from the UK and Disneyland Paris is basically a hop, skip and a jump compared to flying over to California and Florida. But I'd heard so many bad, negative things about Disneyland Paris. I never really sort of fancied going because people had really put me off about it, saying, wow. Oh, it's dirty. People are rude. The attractions are dilapidated. There's nothing original there. And it's like, oh, okay, I won't bother going.
So people told you that before you even went to Walt Disney World for the first time?
No, that was before I went to Disneyland Paris. They'd sort of said, you know, oh, you're best going to Disneyland, Walt Disney World, because it's amazing, it's wonderful, it's fantastic.
Wow, that is mind-boggling to me, because I don't think that anyone's words could get me to go to, like, halfway across the world instead of a few hours away to go to Disney Park. Yeah, you know, I'm just like, oh, well, we'll see what happens because I'm not going across the world. I'm going to go to this one that's a few hours away from where I live.
Well, technically, it's not just a few hours, but we'll get into that one.
Okay.
But the point that made me sort of kind of start warming to it is back in November, we had a guest on our podcast called Emily Rawling, and she did a Disneyland Paris trip report for us. I think it was our show 27.
You're talking about Disney Dreamgirls, by the way.
Yeah, Disney Dreamgirls, sorry. Right. And she came along and chatted about her trip to Disneyland Paris, and she said, oh, well, when you're booking with Disney, yeah, you could spend several hundred, nearly a thousand or so pounds plus on a trip per person. But she says, I bet you, Michelle, I can get you to go to Disneyland Paris really, really cheap, not spend a lot of money and have an amazing time. It's fantastic. There's so much to do there. I want to take you. I want to be the one to take you to Disneyland Paris. So I was like, yeah. And then I went off to California, and in January I was suffering some severe Disney blues, having not got a trip for a whole 8 months ahead of me. So she came round one day and she said, look, let me just show you the prices. And it kind of sort of changed my mind a bit, because I got the flight and the accommodation for under $400.
Wow. So how long were you there?
We were there for 4 nights. And that is flying from the UK and staying in a hotel. Now, admittedly, we had a few little bits of travelling around, because it wasn't as handy as staying in a Disney hotel. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm not going to bore your listeners with the ins and out. If you want to find out about the ins and out, you're just going to have to listen to my show, number 41.
We're like, we'll bore you over there.
Because obviously, James, I want to talk to you more about the creepy side.
Of course, yes.
So anyway, I decided to go, and I had a week's holiday in February, and off I toodled. So I am now the proud owner of 2 annual passes for 2 Disneylands.
Wow. Congratulations on that.
I know. So I've got my annual pass for Disneyland Paris, my annual pass for Disneyland California. I will tell you now, the annual pass for Disneyland Paris is so cheap in comparison.
I can't imagine. What is it, like $700 for Disneyland, I believe?
If I renew my pass at the moment, I think $795, because I have the premium one. Mm. You can pick up your Disneyland Paris pass for a year for about $150 to
$180-ish. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. To tell you how cheap it is, if you buy a 3-day park ticket, it's cheaper to buy an annual pass.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's something else there, huh? It's a little bit different there. Wow. In the pricing, that's quite a difference.
Yeah. So, you know, got over there, first day, didn't get there till late. So all I did was get my ticket and basically had an excursion around the suburbs of Paris trying to find the hotel I was staying at. And the hotel I was staying at was incredibly creepy, because they didn't have any mirrors in the bedroom. They didn't have any towels. They didn't have any pillows. They didn't have a hairdryer. This is not a hotel I will recommend to our lovely, lovely Roxy, because she would just die there. There's just no way of putting on makeup, doing your hair or anything.
There was no mirror anywhere in the hotel room?
There was a mirror in the bathroom. Okay. But when you go in the bathroom and have a shower, the bathroom was so tiny that the mirror got steamed up within 2 seconds of running the tap.
Wow, so what are you going to say the name of this place so we know to stay clear?
I'd rather not, in case of any losses.
All right, fine. It's fine.
But to be honest, it was clean, it was comfortable, and it was incredibly cheap.
It was a place to sleep.
Yeah, because, you know, we were in the parks from dawn till dusk, basically. So, you know, why spend $300-$400 on a hotel room you're going to sleep in?
That's what I think. But
yeah, the view's the same when your eyes are closed.
I got to remember that when I try to convince my girlfriend to stay in less than stellar places.
It depends what you're going for. If you're going for a bit of a romance, nice plush fittings. You know, you could not do romance in this hotel room, I'll tell you that now, because it was a bunk bed arrangement. And that's
bunk beds? I have never heard of that in a hotel before, ever. They had bunk beds? Wow.
Yeah, they had 2 single beds with a third bunk over the top of them.
Wow. What, so did you get the top bunk or?
No, we used it because there was nowhere to put your clothes. There was no dressing table. There was no drawers. There was no wardrobe. We used the third bed to put our clothes on it.
Okay. Wow. It's quite this experience. That is all a little creepy.
It was very creepy waking up when the daylight was just coming through the curtains and all I could see were these pairs of trousers dangling over the bunk bed. It's like, oh, it's a ghost!
It's quite an image.
Yeah. So, anyway.
All right.
Now, I suppose you want to talk about some of the wonderful, creepy things that you can get to do at Disneyland Paris.
Oh, yes. Let's get into it.
Shall we start with the creepiest of the creep?
Might as well start at the top.
Okay. Well, the main creepy place at Disneyland Paris is Frontierland. And
The whole
the Wild West doesn't really normally make you think of creepiness, really, does it? It just makes you think of westerns and gunslinging, Clint Eastwood, smoking a little cigarette, all stubbly-faced and going, pfaw.
Right.
So that's not exactly what comes to as creepy, but when they were talking about Disneyland Paris, the management behind what was then Euro Disney didn't want it to be a carbon copy of the American parks. They wanted something very different, something that would fit in with their French culture and also stand out and would be a destination in its own right rather than somewhere, oh, well, this is the same as America.
Right.
Now, Tony Baxter was one of the Imagineers involved with this and he wanted to have a darker, a creepier attraction. And the attraction actually took a lot longer than anticipated to create, mainly due to budgetary reasons, and it only opened on the April 12th, 1992. I think, firstly, you need to have an image of what Phantom Manor is like. And basically, Phantom Manor is on an elevation called Boot Hill.
Boo?
Boot Hill.
Oh,
Hill.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And it's linked to Big Thunder Mountain, which is also in Frontierland. And in a moment or two, I'll share the story because there's quite a long, detailed story and it's very, very different to what you will find in the American parks.
Okay.
Now, the architectural style of the building is Victorian Second Empire, which is around about the 1865 period through to 1880. It's got a lot of European influences and it's kind of Baroque in style. Now, I just want to say that if you Google these two images, Google Phantom Manor and then next to it, Google Psycho Bates Manor, and you will notice there is a lot of similarities between the two properties. If you imagine a property with a protruding central portion and a trapezium-sized roof, you have got Bates Mansion or Phantom Manor.
From Psycho?
Yeah. It just glares at you the way the windows are, the way there's the railings on the roof and the fact it's elevated up as well. It's very similar. So anyway, it's the only haunted mansion to have the dereliction outside as well as inside, which I gather from when I've been doing a bit of research, Mark Davis said Walt would not have approved of because he liked the nicely manicured exterior and the interior looking derelict, but you get it both in Disneyland Paris.
Don't you think that the Magic Kingdom's Haunted Mansion kind of looks a little run down from the outside?
Not as bad in Paris.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, obviously the Parisian Park is a little bit short on the old Cacheroni as well, so that...
So part of it's not part of the effect, part of it's just it needs maintenance, is what you're saying.
Like, the gardens basically are very sparse, you know, it's just very, very empty. It's not manicured or anything. And try as I like, I could not find a pet cemetery, but when you know the story, it makes sense that there isn't one.
Okay.
In creating the story, a major influence was Gaston Leroux's novel, Phantom of the Opera, alongside quite a few other Gothic legends from Europe. But they were given like a Western edge, which fits in with the Frontierland theming that it's got. So, shall we go back to the history and the story? Are we all sitting comfortably on my little subjects of the kingdom? Because this is a bit of a story for you. And I hope you won't find it too creepy.
Well, we'll see. We'll let you know if we get too scared.
Okay. Well, it all began with a man called Henry Ravenswood, and he was born 1795. He was a Western settler who struck it big over at the Big Thunder Mountain, and he founded the Thunder Mesa Mining Company, creating the city of Thunder Mesa, which is basically Frontierland. Now, he built the manor house, Phantom Manor, and raised his family there, and they had a beautiful daughter, Melanie, who was born in 1842. However, there's a dark secret. Big Thunder Mountain was rumoured to be home to a powerful spirit, Indian folklore going on, and its wrath could be materialised into a terrible earthquake. Well, as they searched for that there gold a little bit harder and a little bit deeper, they dug deeper and deeper. In the meantime, Melanie was growing into a beautiful young woman, and she became engaged to a train engineer who planned to take her far, far away from Thunder Mesa. Oh, it's a bit of a love story, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Da-da-da-da. Okay, so basically, her father was none too pleased, and he tried to stop the wedding. Alas, an earthquake killed him and Melanie's mum. Da, da, da. Now, the earthquake is linked into the story of Big Thunder Mountain and the experience you go get on that attraction as well. Now, there's a mystery. Who caused the earthquake? Was it the legend? Now, many years later, the story goes that when Melanie went to get married, a mysterious phantom appeared at the manor. The manor had this phantom, and he lured her fiancé up to the attic, stretching room, and he basically hanged him by the neck from the rafters.
Wow.
So it fits in with the story of why there's a dangly dead body, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, just to stop right there. So far, it's actually really interesting because, as many haunted mansion aficionados may know, there really isn't a cohesive story. You know, there's lots of little bits and pieces, but there's not a main story. And this actually seems to take in things from the haunted mansion and put it into this grand story.
Yeah.
Which also seems to have taken place, you know, in American history, which makes it seem a little more realistic instead of some just far-off, creepy, you know, land or something. So yeah. I find this very interesting. I think it's
cool. A lovely story. So anyway, hours had passed and Melanie sat alone in the ballroom. Hours went by, no sign of the groom. The guests slowly started to begin to file away, leaving Melanie alone in the house with the staff of maids and butlers. Melanie was not going to give up. She wanted her train driving beau to come and they would be married and live happily ever after. So she paced the mansion day by day in her beautiful gown, looking for him. In preparation for her loved one's return, she wandered the house, singing melancholy songs of her lost love. However, the phantom was still in the house, laughing at her human devotion to her intended husband. One after one, he invited his dead demonic friends from the afterlife to fill the house in an internal party. Guess how many?
999.
The shape of the house was slowly transformed by the evil forces. Years passed inside and out. The house began to decay. Now, the earthquake that killed her parents cut a huge gouge in the west half of the property and the crumbling town of the old Thunder Mesa. The deserted buildings were rumoured to be called Phantom Canyon, and the dark supernatural version of the town, and anyone who entered the ghostly old town at night, never came back. Nobody knows if Melanie Ravenswood is still alive in that old house on the hill. If she is, well, she'll be over 100 years old. But her beautiful voice still carries over the town at night, through the walls and in the air. Sometimes people, when looking up Boot Hill, will see the shadows of someone passing by a window. Lights flicker on and off.
That's cool.
It's getting spooky. Some nights when the moon is full and the sky is clear of clouds, you can still hear the lonely mourning of the bride, the maniacal laughter of the phantom, and the faint tinkle of glass and laughter of party guests. Whether she's alive or not, what is well known is that poor Melanie will never really leave the crumbling mansion. She waits for her groom until Judgment Day.
Wow.
Now, fans of the ride believe the phantom to be the reincarnation of her father, Henry Ravenswood, seeking vengeance from behind the grave. But other people believe it's just pure evil spirit, and it was the curse that was on Melanie to suffer the loss of her parents, the loss of her beau, and to be punished by living in the house forevermore.
Wow. Now, do you get this story from riding the attraction? Like, do you...
You kind of do, actually. There are elements that you can pick up. Obviously, you can't on your first ride through.
Mm-hmm.
But there are clues if you're there, and if you're if you notice it, you will pick it up. Because when you enter into the house itself, you go through into the entrance hall,
mm-hmm.
and there is a big portrait sort of mirror high up on the coving that is of Melanie as a younger woman. So you're sort of thinking straight away of something different going on here.
Right.
And then obviously the doors open and in you go into the infamous stretching room, which in the case of Disneyland Paris is actually an elevator that takes you down. And then you go through a walkway into the show building, which is obviously at a lower level.
So it's kind of like Disneyland's Haunted Mansion.
Yeah. Yeah. And let me see. Shall we have a little wander around the mansion then?
Yeah, let's take a little ride through.
Do you want to hear something really spooky before I go on?
Of course.
The Phantom was originally voiced by Vincent Price of all those horror film fame.
Wow.
Yeah. But unfortunately, legal agreements, blah, 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 required that the narration to be primarily in French. Old Vinny, not too good at parler français, meant that a French actor called Gérard Chevalier was brought in to record a French version of what Price actually said. And it was used for, the Price's version was only used for a few months. However, there is a small piece of Price's recording still in use, and that is the Phantom's evil laughter.
Well, that's awesome. But that's, wow. I can't imagine. Imagine Vincent Price as the ghost host in the Haunted Mansion. Wow.
I know.
That would have been incredible. Oh, this brings up a good question, or a question I had. So, is everything in French on all the attractions?
Depends on attraction by attraction. Some are all in French. Some are in English, but it didn't cause a problem to me.
Okay.
So, now something else, which is a nice little homage, and I can send you a picture over, or you can use one from Google. Outside the attraction, before you actually go up the steps getting into the mansion, there's a Phantom Manor sign, because obviously it's very different to in the States. There's a little demonic image on the top, and many people have commented before myself that this demonic image does have a little bit of a look at Vincent Price of him. That's tribute. Very different to the other parks.
Very interesting. Yeah, too bad they couldn't get Vincent Price more involved on the original Haunted Mansion. I mean, the original, the Ghost Host as it is now, of course, is iconic. Yeah. But that would, I don't know. That actually gives me chills thinking about Vincent Price as the Ghost Host.
So, as I said, you enter into the stretching room, and this is quite different because obviously it's got to fit around the story of Melanie. So when you walk into the octagonal room, you have four portraits on the wall. And obviously you descend and they stretch and they're very different. So, number one, Melanie is having a picnic with her fiancé. Mm-hmm. But as it stretches down, you suddenly see the macabre scene as ants, rattlesnakes, scorpions, spiders and beetles raid their food. The second one, she's holding a parasol, very similar in essence to the American parks. However, as you descend, you will see that she's riding a boat about to go down a vertical drop on a waterfall.
That's cute.
Yeah.
How adorable.
The third one is picking roses. And however, it appears that she's actually picking them from a tombstone while a skeletal zombie emerges from the ground, gripping a small rake in one hand.
That one's cool. I'm actually looking at all these now.
Yeah. And the last one is Melanie stepping through a stream and an aquatic sort of water monster, a la Loch Ness type thing, reaches for her foot. So somebody's got it in for Melanie.
I guess so. That's so cool. It's all Melanie. And I love that there's this great backstory to this. This is so cool.
Yeah. And, I suppose if you're just sort of going into the ride and you don't know this story, you can't really, you sort of think, oh, who's this girl? You know, you sort of questions and it's a bit of a dark side. And then you can kind of put together that when the lights go out and the spiel is finished, and the lightning strikes and you hear the scream and you look up, you see the ominous skeleton figure hanging. And if you look really carefully, maybe take a picture and do zoom, 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 mm-hmm. you actually see his hands are tied behind his back as he hangs from the rafters with a noose round his neck.
Mm.
So, very spooky.
Yeah, he's involuntarily hung there.
Yeah, it sort of gives the impression there straight away that this wasn't a suicide.
Right.
You know. So very typical now of the Disneyland version, you go out and you enter into an L-shaped corridor. You've got the long gallery ahead of you and there are portraits on the wall which morph into the macabre images, which are similar to the California version.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a knight and a horse on a cliff becoming ghostly beings. You have a young woman in a Greek temple and suddenly she sprouts snakes from her hair and becomes Medusa. Nice. You have a ship sailing across the sea, suddenly become all tattered and a ghostly version of itself travelling through a storm. And the final one, which is my favourite, I love this one, there's a woman all reclining on a chaise longue looking all glamorous and then she turns into like a werewolf panther woman.
Oh, nice.
Which is cool. And then you sort of go into the return. There's some busts as well. And there's a lovely painting of Melanie in her wedding gown. And you then go to your right and you will see the loading area ahead for the Omni Movers. And beyond there, there's the grand staircase leading up to the upper floor of the manor.
Oh, so it's cool. So it is very similar to Disneyland, which I prefer, which I've mentioned many times on the show. I like walking down the hallway instead of riding by it in the dune buggy, which you do in the Magic Kingdom version.
Yeah. So it really does fit in with the story. The only sad thing is about walking down that corridor, you don't get time to sit back and enjoy the views of the portraits because the crowd just moves you along. Oh. So I do suggest that you wait till last and then stroll out and then you have more time with the pictures to enjoy them.
Yeah, I never really felt like that in Disneyland's Haunted Mansion. I never felt I was rushed walking down that hallway, but I guess maybe it's just different there at Phantom
Manor. I'll talk about crowds in Paris and etiquette later.
Okay.
Because that is dead creepy. So you get on your Omnimover, and once you're on board, Melanie wanders along the never-ending hallway holding her candelabra and her bouquet. So you get to see her. And then there's a ghost pianist and a raven squawks, just like in your intro music, James.
Nice.
You go into the corridor of knocking doors where people are wanting to get out from behind the doors, and you have the classic wallpaper and the eyes and everything. And then at the end, there is a grandfather clock, which spookily has 13 hours on it and the hands spinning round quite quickly. And you finally go into the seance room.
Now, is my Queen Leota there or someone else there?
No, you do have a crystal ball, and it's sat on sort of table and levitated, wrapped in mist. It is actually Madame Leota who's sort of doing her spiel. And this is where I try to remember as much French as I possibly can, because the spiel is done in English and French.
Hmm.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. Goblins and ghoulies, creature of fright, we summon you now to dance through the night. And then it does it in French. Esprit et fantôme se veut distraire, escorter dans la nuit la belle fiancée. And that bit says, spirits and phantoms on your proud stallions escort the beautiful bride into the night. So it's actually telling the story, but one part's English, then the next bit's French. So unless you're bilingual, you really miss the story.
Interesting that they decided to do that.
Yeah. Then the next bit is, warlock and witches, answer this call. Your presence is wanted at this ghostly ball. And then the next bit is in French. De deux coupes de mini... au matinée sonnante, nous valserons ensemble macabre débutante. As 12 strokes of midnight sound from the bells, we shall waltz together, gruesome débutante. Hmm. Join now the spirits in nuptial doom, a ravishing bride, a vanishing groom.
Wow. That's really perplexed that they went back and forth there.
Yeah. I just, you know, it would have made... It's difficult because it's a French park. And I think originally when they got an idea of the demographics of people that were going, they decided to do a lot more things in French. But I'm not an ex-opser. So obviously after you leave the seance room, you go through my favourite scene, which is the balcony over the ballroom. It is very similar to the others, apart from it's all set up for Melanie's wedding reception that never was.
Ooh, that's cool. So actually, I still love it. I love that there's more of a story instead of just random things.
Yeah,
because now you know what's actually going on. So that's great.
The next bit you go to is the bride's boudoir, where you see Melanie sat at a skull-esque mirror. Hmm. And obviously she's older. She's obviously been waiting there a while. She's preparing herself at the dresser. And then you go around and four white marble busts come into view, bearing the expressive faces of the four phantoms singing Grim Grinning Ghosts.
Oh, Grim Grinning Ghosts is in this. I did not realize that either. Nice.
Then you go into Phantom Canyon, as I mentioned before. And this is the twisted supernatural version of Thunder Mesa in its post-apocalyptic earthquake doom state. And it's basically a ghostly western-type town.
Cool.
And this ghostly town reminds me of Knott's Berry Farm's old town.
Okay, cool.
So it's got that sort of theme. There is a guard offering train tickets to the underworld. The mayor is inviting riders to be the 1,000th occupant. There's a shootout between a bank robber fleeing on a mule. There's a cowardly sheriff. And in the background, you can see the remnants of Big Thunder Mountain. Not the real version, just a backdrop.
That's cool. It's
beautifully done. You see a pharmacy where there's a green-faced pharmacist drinking a potion. And there's a saloon where the front wall was sort of caved in, obviously, by the earthquake. And there's a showgirl outside and a bartender. And you can hear a honky-tonk of a piano. There's some gamblers going on playing poker. And this time you start to see a glimpse of the Phantom again. And I don't know if it's me, but it does remind me of Baron Samedi from Live and Let Die. I don't know why. It just does.
Okay.
and you see him this time is a revolting corpse in rags, and he's leading guests towards the exit of the ride, and you see Melanie's skeleton floating and a radiating ghost-like glow is pointing to the way out. You sort of go into the like wine cellary part of the building, and that's where the mirror effect is.
Oh, okay.
Really? Where you just basically get a disengorged head on top of your vehicle through the mirror effect, and you get off, and you get to see Melanie one last time, and she said, "Hurry back! Don't forget to bring your death certificates."
Oh.
And you sort of exit into Boot Hill Cemetery, with some humorous gravestones. Now, the only bit I sort of missed out, there is sort of a little bit of a kind of graveyard scene, but the graveyard scene is not as extensive as it is in the American parks.
Okay, that's like the big show scene, the big show-stopping scene in the Haunted Mansion one.
So, what else can I tell you about it? I've got another fact that in the early 2000s, Phantom Manor was given a special Halloween celebration known as the Phantom Wedding. And the building was put up, a whole big scrim was put over the front of it, and they used a projection for Melanie's recreated wedding.
Oh, wow.
So, but yeah, that's basically Phantom Manor. And obviously, Phantom Manor links into Big Thunder Mountain.
That's very interesting. Do you think that, you know, this whole link together, I know they're all in Frontierland, but just as a casual visitor, do you think there's a clear connection between Big Thunder Mountain and Phantom Manor? Or did you have
Without doing the research, no.
Oh, okay.
You could pick up little bits and you'd sort of think, hang on a minute, I'm going through a Western element come graveyardy come earthquakey suffery place. Oh, what's the story here?
Right.
And you kind of would kind of, oh yeah, Frontierland. But without actually doing the research, I don't think you would get the story. You could kind of get the idea of Melanie and her guess that the body hanging in the stretching room is her beau. You could get that from what Madame Leota tells you. And you get the idea that she's a miserable bride waiting and pining on her man. But the other bits I don't think are as apparent.
So, let's take a ride with you, Michelle, through Phantom Manor.
Kindly watch yourself as you go out there. The party welcome is over with you.
Your presence is wanted at this ghostly ball.
From that one.
Yay!
Awesome. Well, I've purposely not done too much research on Phantom Manor with the hopes that I would end up there one day, but I took one for the team. Gotta let the Creepy Kingdom listeners know about it. So I learned a lot about it today, just like a lot of the listeners. So I can't wait till the day I finally get to go there and experience it for myself.
I think knowing the story, James, makes you appreciate it a lot more because you know what's actually going on.
I was thinking that too. So I'd imagine so.
Yay.
So divulging or taking a break a little bit from the creepy, there is another attraction that is opened there very recently that I'm very excited about experiencing. Hopefully they bring it stateside, but is the Ratatouille track. So what can you tell us about that without really spoiling it? Is that possible?
Apart from it is such a fantastic attraction that it will totally blow your mind.
Wow, that's saying a lot for us theme park fans.
If this is the way forward of dark rides, then boy, are we in for a treat, because it is a really cute ride. I think we rode it 4 or 5 times.
Oh, you must have liked it then.
Yeah. It's 3D, so you get your glasses. But the whole theming of it is just sensational because you go through the queue. I never did the normal queue. Every time I looked at it, it was over an hour. I did single rider and I did fast pass. The curious thing is, single rider at certain times went so quick, it was quicker than Fast Pass.
Wow.
And the reason being is you get to ride in a little Ratmobile, and the Ratmobile is 2 rows of 3. Well, most people, when I was there, were in groups of 4.
Okay.
So two single riders in a vehicle every time. So me and my friend were able to go every ride in the same vehicle.
Oh, wow. So you never got split up. That's easy now.
Yeah. So you get into your little Ratmobile and you put your glasses on and you go around and you go into the first sort of proper room and you're on the roof of the restaurant and there is, oh gosh, brain gone that. There is Gaston and Oh, little rat man.
Remy?
Remy, sorry. Brain just went blank for a moment there. And this Remy. And all of a sudden, the window opens and you fall down into the restaurant. And you literally do feel like you're falling down into the restaurant. You're not. Wow. Because it's a big screen. But you then start moving around and it's telling the story of you being in this little ratmobile, but all the props that are around you are ginormous. Like in one room, you go into the larder and there is a floor to ceiling height frosted from fridge door, and you can see the blancmanges and the desserts, and you can see a hanging leg of ham, which is about the size of Jaws. It's huge. And you go in, and there's a heat element and there's a water element, and it's very cleverly done. And I was very lucky that when the ride broke down on us and we had to be evac'd, it was actually in that fridge room. So we were able to go around and take loads of pictures because they didn't tell us not to. So I took pictures.
Very nice. Did they have smells of food in there?
I didn't smell anything, but I would have said that would have been the only thing that could have up-leveled it a bit more. Okay. Maybe the effects were just too subtle for me to detect.
Man, it seems like sensory overload, so...
Yeah, because as I say, you've got... I won't spoil it, but you do get a water effect in your face and you do get a heat effect, which, dependent on where you go, because these vehicles obviously have a pathway, but they are trackless.
Ooh, nice.
Depends where you go, depends on how effective the heat effect is, because sometimes it was better than others.
I can't wait to ride a trackless attraction. I've never experienced that before. I'd imagine it's going to be really a lot of fun not knowing exactly where you're going every second of the ride.
Yeah, like when the lights went on, you could actually see how it worked.
Oh, okay, there is some kind of thing, but during the attraction you couldn't see it though.
You couldn't see it in the operational light. But when obviously they had to put the lights on for escorting us, it was very, very careful on where we walked.
Ah, gotcha.
So... and when the ride is over and it's finished, you take your 3D glasses off, and literally where you get out of the vehicle, you can see through to the restaurant, which is an exact recreation of the scene you see at the end of the film where all the little ratties are out having their meals, you know, right down to having these ginormous fairy lights. It is just superbly done. And you sat on champagne cork type chairs and... it's brilliant.
Wow. Well, let's hope they bring that stateside. I don't know where it would go. Maybe Epcot? I don't know.
A lot of people are saying Epcot because they have the general overall Parisian feel theming already there. But then it's taking Epcot out of what Epcot was designed to be.
Oh, they're already doing that.
Well, I know.
That's over.
They're putting Anna and Elsa in. One thing I was really angry about the restaurant there is they stole quite mercilessly the Remy animatronic that used to be in the restaurant at Epcot.
Right.
They've taken it and put it over there. You know, they could have made another one. Come on, Disney, don't be so tight.
Well, you know, at least he belongs there for now. But I say build this ride at Epcot. I'd much rather ride this than Frozen, personally.
But, yeah. So. Oh, I tell you what, I would ride this over and over again because it is a really cool ride. I really enjoyed it. And the whole little Parisian film, like there's a fountain, there's a really unique little gift store where you can get some really cool items. You can get the plushies of Remy, you can get some chef hats or things like that, some kitchen things. There's the attraction, then there's the restaurant. And it fits in really well to that part of the studios, because bear in mind, this isn't Disneyland Paris Park. This is Walt Disney Studios Park, where the Ratatouille attraction is.
Okay, which is pretty much like Hollywood Studios, I assume, is the theme.
It's kind of. Like, if I just quickly go sort of through it, the area that Ratatouille is in is Toon Studio, and there is the Art of Disney Animation, There's the flying carpets of Agrabah. There's Crush's coaster, which, oh my God, that's awesome. And then there's a little cars ride, which is similar to Mater's Junkyard Jamboree, but is actually based on the Cars vehicles. And on our Facebook page, I've actually posted a video of that in operation. That's really cool.
Alrighty, cool.
And then there's a show called Animagique, which is Donald Duck going through scenes from the Disney classics.
So it's kind of like Mickey's PhilharMagic a little bit?
Yeah, kind of. I never actually got to see that, to be honest. And Toon Studio is kind of linked to Toy Story Playland, where you've got three unique rides. You've got Toy Soldier's Parachute Drop, you've got Slinky Dog Zigzag Spin, and then you've got RC Racer, which, you know, those pirate galleon ship rides that go side to side and make like an arc of a semicircle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've actually themed it along that with a RC racer car, you know, the radio controlled car that was used in Toy Story.
Right.
And that's basically the right hand side of that park. And as I mentioned before, Crush's coaster is absolute. There's two reasons to go to Walt Disney Studios: Ratatouille and Crush's coaster.
Wow. Is Crush's coaster like an indoor thing or?
It's a semi-dark ride. It's themed along, obviously, Finding Nemo, and it's the journey on the East Australian Current. You board a turtle shell-type vehicle with two riders back-to-back, and it's a circular ride vehicle. And basically, the best way for me to describe it is imagine-ish a dark ride roller coaster, similar to, I suppose, Space Mountain once it's actually in the circular dome part rather than going up to launch.
Right.
But it's dark ride and the ride vehicle turns round and spins.
Sounds really dizzy.
It could make you a little bit disorientated when you leave, but the spinning effect is not. It's not going round 360 every 2 seconds. It's not as fast as that. But when you're going round a corner, the vehicle spins.
Okay, so it actually works with what you're doing.
It works with the gravity, and it just makes you feel like you are on the East Australian Current, and there's sort of scenes that you would see along the way, and it's predominantly inside, but there is a section where you go outside as well where other guests can see you coming out in between the two portions.
Oh, well, that sounds really cool. I heard this. I didn't know what it was. I just assumed it was an off-the-shelf ride, like most of these other rides are.
No, but this is totally pretty cool. Different. I think I've posted this video of a simulation that they have outside the ride on our Facebook page again. The simulation does spin it a little bit faster than it actually does spin, but it gives you a basic idea.
Well, that's very cool. I look forward to that one. Well, since we're over at the park, at Walt Disney Studios Park, that's also where their Tower of Terror is, correct?
The Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
So, yeah. How is this compared to the ones in Disneyland and Walt Disney World?
Okay, well, this was the same design, basically, as Disney's California Adventures version.
Okay.
However, Disney's Parisian Resort had some financial issues. The building codes in Paris or in France are very different to the UK and to America. And because of that, a different construction method had to be used. So instead of using it had to use concrete rather than steel, which ended up costing 180 million euros.
Wow.
And notably, the problem is they used concrete. The back of the tower at the moment is partially covered in netting because the concrete is crumbling.
So they made them use concrete, which costs more and also is not as effective. Interesting.
Yeah. The name of the attraction in French is La Tour de la Terre un saut dans la quatrième dimension. And basically, the Tower of Terror, a jump into the fourth dimension. And that sort of gives it away. There's no fifth dimension.
Right. Which, for you know, everyone in Walt Disney World version knows all about the fifth dimension. But that is what is lacking from the Disneyland version.
But there is an element on this attraction that is different to Disney California's Adventures version.
Okay.
It has randomized drops.
No fifth dimension, but get the random drops.
Yeah. You know, it is very, very similar that you're going off Hollywood Boulevard into the reception of the hotel. And again, the hotel isn't as dark as the hotels in the American parks. I think I posted pictures via Twitter and Facebook the other day, and it's very light.
Yeah, the lobby? I look at the pictures now, it looks very bright.
It's very bright. It's a lot lighter wood that they've used. The basement, again, is similar to California, where you have the two entry levels on different floors. So some of you might have to, if you go in the left-hand side library, you end up going on the first floor. If you're on the right-hand side, you can go in on the ground floor. I do gather that although the introduction Rod Serling video in the library is in French and it has English subtitles, it is possible for you to request it to be flipped into English.
Really? Where do you request that?
I presume by the bellboy cast member as you go in to see if it's possible. I don't know. I didn't do it. I just, and again, I've recorded a ride through of this, which will be coming up in one of my shows in the future, because I thought it was kind of quirky to have it in the French.
Right. You know, at this point, if you're already gone over, you know, if you're an American and already going over there, you're already familiar. So it might be just amusing to hear it in French.
Yeah, it was fun. But yeah, I loved it because obviously it's got the best bits of California, but it's got the randomization.
I'll take it. I don't know. I prefer, you know. Of course, we had our little Disneyland versus Walt Disney World episode a while back. But I just, the mirror effect in Disneyland is cool, but I just love Walt Disney World's version over it, you know.
I agree. Totally agree. And it is nice to have the mirror effect. I must admit, it is fun. But I still vote Walt Disney World, James.
Yeah, that one is that fifth dimension.
Yeah.
And that randomization.
There's quite a few other things there. You can do the studio tram tour, which there isn't a great deal to do, and it's nice to do one to tick it off, to go down Catastrophe Canyon. There isn't the Pearl Harbor scene, which once you've seen it, you've seen it.
Right.
Lights, Motors, Action. Obviously, this is where it originated from, is Paris, and it features the vehicles from Cars the movie.
You know, I've never seen that. It's at Hollywood Studios. I still have never seen it.
You like. Rock and Roller Coaster. I got really, really excited about this attraction, thinking, oh, man, I can't wait. And I was talking to someone in the queue as I was going on, and he said, oh, yeah, there is a video at the beginning with the band. And I was thinking, great, that's the best bit about that attraction, where they say, going to make it a stretch limo. And it's a completely different video. Really disappointing. The video was like 10 seconds. So I was a bit disappointed with that. Mm. And you can meet Spider-Man there as well in the Blockbuster Cafe to the side, which I think if you're a Marvel fan, cool.
Right, sure.
And then basically the last two things left is Disney Junior Stitch Live, which I think's creepy enough. We should be getting rid of Stitch. Don't like him. And then there's Cinemagique, which I suppose is a kind of version of the Great Movie Ride, but in a stationary theatre. It does have interaction. It does have a water effect, because I got quite wet. And it's got Martin Short in it, interacting with a story going through the history of film. And it is such a clever sure, it's about 20 minutes. I was expecting it to be rubbish, and it was one of the highlights of the park.
Really? Cinemagique.
Cinemagique. And then basically going out into the lot area, which is all inside, and it's their sort of Hollywoody type thing. And the creepiest thing about that is the price of the food.
Well, you know, it's Disney prices, you know.
Oh, boy, yeah. And then you've got Walt and Mickey, the partner statue, as well.
They have that in Hollywood.
They have that in Walt. They have that in Walt Disney Studios. As you're coming into the park.
Interesting. Very nice. So before we leave this whole adventure here, I do have two other things to ask you about. Back to Disneyland Park. One of the things I've been most excited about, especially after hearing about it on Disney Dream Girls, is of course in the dungeon of Sleeping Beauty Castle is a huge sleeping dragon.
Oh, wow. It is cool. I tried to get there a couple of times because of them doing their end of evening finale. They closed the dragon off quite early.
Oh, okay.
But I managed to do it eventually, and it is actually on the lower level of the chateau, and it's Le Château de la Belle au Bois Dormant, the Castle of Sleeping Beauty. And it has three layers, just the castle. You can actually go up to the first floor balcony and walk around and see Fantasyland, and there is a very beautiful retelling of Sleeping Beauty's story via stained glass windows and tapestries and a few effects that come to life, which will creep you out a bit.
Nice.
And then obviously the dungeon, it's got our friend Terry Harden's dragon.
So is it freak you out? Does it move at all?
It does move. It's quite a darkened place, and it's very difficult to get pictures. Very difficult to get pictures. I've got a few. The dragon moves fantastically. Its eyes light up. It puffs smoke. It growls. Its tail swishes. You can see its claw moving.
Wow.
It's 27 meters head to tail. And at the time, it was the largest animatronic figure ever built. And that was when the park opened in April 92.
Wow, that seems very intimidating.
Yeah, it's sort of curved and curled round, but even going into the dungeon, you feel suddenly cold. So it's very, very spooky. I know I've spoken a couple of times to Terry Harden before, and she talks a little bit about the process she went through to audition for this with Tony Baxter in quite detail. If you go back to my show number 15, I interviewed her, and she talks about all the other things that she's done, about Splash Mountain and Ghostbusters and whatever, but she goes through the process of how she actually had to tell Tony Baxter, no, you're doing it all wrong with what your idea is about this dragon. This is how it should do. The dragon should move and blah, blah, blah. So Tony then just turned around to her and said, go on then, you're in charge.
Nice.
So basically it's along with the whole team that she was put together. It is stunning and it is beautiful.
Wow, yeah, that's one of the things I'm most looking forward to. I wish they had that in other parks, because that's really cool. And lastly, what's going on with their Pirates of the Caribbean?
Pirates of the Caribbean. I love Pirates of the Caribbean in Disneyland Paris. It's very different because there's no Johnny Depp.
That's why you love it, because there's no Johnny Depp.
it's just different. There are two drops as you go through, and it does get quite fast on the little old dropperoonies. The Paris one was an opening day attraction, and it's the only version that doesn't have any additions at all from any of the Pirates of the Caribbean film. So I'd imagine if you sort of think, oh, Pirates of the Caribbean, and go, well, and you only know it as the films,
right?
You'll get a little bit of confusion.
Yeah, we're like, what is this? But yeah. I guess this is the only place where you can experience the pre-Johnny Depp version of the attraction.
Yeah. Like the version in Disneyland California, you go through the Blue Lagoon area where there's the restaurant.
Very nice.
Which I didn't get to eat at. I only ate at one table service restaurant. And there are some different scenes. I don't want to spoil it for people, but the scenes are quite different.
Well, that's cool. That's something worth, you know, checking out.
Yeah, and another plus thing about it is that the queue system is actually the best queue because it's got quite a lot of pirate theming about it, so you do actually feel like you are going somewhere, and it takes the version in Walt Disney World just a little step further.
Hmm. Well, yeah, that's cool because, yeah, the Disneyland queue, even though Disneyland Pirates is far superior, the queue, you know, is not really anything. But Magic Kingdom's Pirates, you know, you actually feel like you're going somewhere. You know, like it gets kind of dark and creepy. So you're saying it's kind of takes that dark and creepy and makes, you know, immerses you a little more?
Yeah, and another thing that's quite quirky about this, which is different to the American parks, is you can get an on-ride photo.
Where does it take it?
I believe, if I remember rightly, it's on the second drop. Don't quote me on that because I could be wrong.
Oh, it gets you while you're like, ah, one of those.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, it's weird they don't have that on the U.S. parks.
Yeah. And again, it is quite a way out to get to it. You know, you do have to be quite determined to find Pirates because it did actually take me quite a while to find it. It's over in Adventureland.
Not, you know, they want you to go all the way to the back, pass a whole bunch of stuff. They don't want it right away.
Yeah, it is quite a long, 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 long walk to.
So, in conclusion, let's see here. I'm trying to guess how many trips you've done. I'm going to guess, what is it, 5 times Disneyland in California?
Oh, gosh, I wish. I've done Disneyland for a total of about 5 weeks. So I've made 3 trips over the last year. And I've done about 14 weeks in Walt Disney World in total.
Wow. That's a lot of weeks. So
that's a lot of money in Disney investment. Yeah.
All right. So you've definitely put in some hours in the United States parks. You know, let's cut to the chase here. What's your favorite parks? You've now tasted Paris. What's your favorite park?
Still Disneyland, California.
All right. However.
I will say that I really do have a change of heart on Paris. Paris is very, very different, and I really, really would love to go back.
Well, there you go. That says enough. Like you want to go back, so obviously it was good enough for you. You know.
Yeah. But if anyone is planning to do, like, for example, the Disneyland Paris Marathons that are going next year, or if anyone wants any more information, I'm more than happy to help out or share photos or videos that I took.
Speaking of which, how do people find you to get this information and check out your other podcasts?
They can check out our podcast by looking in all of those wonderful podcast catching apps all over the place, iTunes, Stitcher, all that sort of stuff. And just by searching Disney Dream Girls, we are on Twitter @DisDreamGirls, And we have a Facebook page where I'm trying to be a lot more active and share lots of things and pictures and quizzes and things like that. And that's just searchable Disney Dream Girls. We also have our own blog. Again, we put lots of pictures on that, and that is just www.disneydreamgirls.com.
Excellent. And what about the other podcast that you're on? What's going on with
Oh, my heavens. I am also on the amazing E-Avengers, where every Monday you will be able to hear us as we have assembled together to go through all sorts of fun features, news, and we kind of sometimes get a bit heated in our discussions.
A little bit, but I've never heard an episode where things got nasty.
Oh, no. It's all in good jest.
But no, very, very fun show. I enjoy that one as well.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for sharing the creepiness.
Oh, it's been fun, James. I could talk about this park for years. It's brilliant.
And if you'd like to hear some non-creepy aspects of Michelle's trip, be sure to check out Disney Dream Girls. What episode number is that?
That is our latest episode. And off the top of my head, I believe it's 41, but it's the one on the top of, and it'll say Disneyland Paris reviewed.
Excellent. Well, thank you once again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me as a guest. I love coming home to my Disney Creepy Kingdom hangout.
Thank you, Michelle, for coming on the show and sharing some of the creepiness you discovered over at Disneyland Paris. If you would like to get in touch with us here on the show, all you need to do is email us at creepykingdom@gmail.com. And if you'd like to check out any of our other podcasts, Curvy Cutie Chat, Even James is a podcast, and Roxy's World, all you need to do is go to monstermoviemedia.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay, and fan art pictures, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google, Tumblr, and Pinterest, all you need to do is go to creepykingdom.com. Well, until next time.
I have a girl now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams.